Today on the LA Food Podcast, I'm your host, Lucas Servodio, feeling a little like Lindsay Lohan on this first episode of 2024, because we've got a bit of an LA Food Pod Freaky Friday for you today. That's right, dear listener, we're flipping the script today, and Father Saul will be interviewing me on today's podcast. Why are we doing this? Well, today happens to be the day that I announce which type of food I'm focusing on for the 2024 countdown, aka my annual expedition to try 100 different versions of a certain Los Angeles food. As a reminder, in 2021, I tackled pizzas. In 2022, I visited 100 different taquerias. And in 2023, I ate 100 epic LA sandwiches in 365 days. Which food will 2024 spotlight? Burgers? Noodles? Tinned fish? Let's find out. But first, Father Saul and I catch up on our holiday plans. We hear about his exotic travels to Morocco and South Florida, and I share the behind-the-scenes details of my annual Feast of the Seven Fishes extravaganza. We talk New Year's resolutions and share the top two food-related goals we each aim to complete in 2024. Let me just say, I would like to send my commiserations in advance to Father Saul's devoted girlfriend for what's about to take place in their kitchen. Also, stick around to the end if you want to hear real-life audio of my wife and I surprising Father Saul in Seattle for his birthday. He turned 21 for the 11th time this past Wednesday, so a very special happy birthday to him from the entire LA Food Pod community. Without further ado, let's chow down. Welcoming back to the LA Food Podcast, a modern-day Magellan who, since we last spoke, has been to North Africa and South Florida and back again. It's Father Saul. Father Saul, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, man. I colonized them all. I now own quite a bit of the world. Pretty happy about it. It was a great holiday, a busy holiday. How about you, man? Where did you end up?
I mean, I ended up in Palm Springs, as I always do. I also ended up in Washington, D.C. Via a work trip, which we discussed, and I have plenty of thoughts on Washington, D.C. for you. But your travels are much more interesting than mine. How was Morocco?
Morocco was very cool. I was in Marrakesh with my family. It was my mom's birthday gift from my dad, kind of, this whole trip. It was a whirlwind, man. I was only there for 4 days. It was like a quick turnaround. Quick takeaways on Morocco. Felt a lot like Pakistan, actually. A lot of similarities in terms of both, like, overall cultural vibe and just kind of, yeah, just vibes similar. Food different, I will say. Mm-hmm. A lot of tagines. I'm an okay fan. You know that, you know, it's like a borderline thing, Mediterranean food for me generally. And it was I think there were, if I was more in charge of the food itinerary, I think we may have had a greater culinary experience. No shade to my parents or their friends. I'm just saying I would have maybe expanded a little bit more, but good trip. I taught the best part, the highlight. I taught my mom how to blow smoke rings with a hookah.
That's cool.
Literally, she got really into it. Again, so for 2 days, two different nights, we got a hookah and she was like really like having fun and like blowing the smoke. And she actually blew a couple rings. She did a good job.
Were there questions about where you yourself learned to smoke them so proficiently?
there were no direct questions, but there was a quiet recognition that this didn't come from nowhere. This knowledge didn't come from nowhere.
This wasn't an innate talent of yours.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. My dad made some comments like, 10,000 hours, hey, Suleiman. I was like, all right.
Oh my God, 10,000 hours doesn't even begin to scratch the surface.
God, I hope they don't listen to this. But then at one point, so my dad wasn't partaking. My mom was like really into it, trying all the tricks. Her friends were trying. And I was like, hey, Abu, my dad, do you want to try? And he goes, nah, can't do tobacco. And my mom goes, tobacco? Where's the had no idea. She just thought it was like flavored smoke from nowhere. Instead, she realized she's been like puffing. Like, yeah. Who knows how much tobacco over the course of these 2 days, and maybe enjoying it a little bit too much. But no, it was a good time, a great vacation. I do feel refreshed in the new year. Happy to be in 2024. Yeah, it's a good time.
You look worryingly good, I must say. You look like you've got the perfect amount of facial hair. You've got you got a glow about you, like you, something happened in Morocco. Like, did you get pregnant? I don't know what happened, but you got some sort of glow about you.
And I got a haircut today. I will say that.
That's it. You've got the post haircut glow. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. Wait, okay, let's go back to the food real quick. First of all, this is why you always join the group chat prior to trips, okay? Because that's how you get some say in where you're eating. What was the food vibe like? Were you just going to like fancy hotel restaurants, or were you just going to tourist traps, or like what was the problem?
Yeah, so hilariously, I was added to the group chat beforehand, and it was like three different like mid-50s moms like from all over the world chatting up a storm, and I just muted it. I was like, I can't deal. They were like, where are we gonna eat this night, that night? And I was like, can't deal, I'm out, whatever happens happens. So that's on me. I'll own that. We went to one, I think, nice higher end restaurant, which I think was our best meal. It was our first night, but it was a little bit tourist trappy. It was how might I compare it to an LA restaurant? It was like, it's a little maximalist, right? Mm-hmm. We might talk about maximalism a little more. Not like to the level of what we're going to discuss, but it's kind of like, hey, they got the dancers coming out with candles on their heads and this and that. So it was like, you could tell by the crowd was like a European crowd. It was a tourist crowd, essentially, right? So like definitely a mix there. And then we ate at our hotel, or like it was a kind of a nice town home kind of boutique hotel thing. Again, it was authentic food. It was real. It was in a tagine, and like the way meals were served, breakfast and all that was felt authentic to like a hotel authenticity, like as authentic as a hotel can get.
Yeah.
But I think just like at the end of
you weren't getting like avocado toast or anything.
No, not like that. It was legit food. And one day we actually went out to the Atlas Mountains, did like a day trip sort of kind of up into the rural areas and ate there. And that was like also probably one of the better meals we had as well. When there was like in a house in the mountains in a small village, that was like probably as authentic as it got. But at the end of the day, it was good. But for me, just like a tagine with like bone-in chicken, a couple potato slices, and just like a mix of green beans and kind of soggy vegetables, essentially. They're like soft vegetables, right? It's not my vibe.
Yeah. I know how you feel about
soft vegetables. I'm sure there's more that we didn't get. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it was all right.
What about South Florida's culinary landscape? How did that treat you?
Honestly, I can't even remember. So much of that was mostly... the only thing worth mentioning there was the homemade Pakistani food I got. And also one day I like literally just like left. I was so sick of like pizza and Italian food, crappy Italian food, that I just like left one day and spent an hour trying to track down samosas and paratha in South Florida. I drove like an hour to this desi grocery store, like just piled up on shit and like brought samosas home, and we had samosa and keema aloo and dal, all my favorite dishes. That was what was worth having down there. Otherwise, not much to speak of in the South Florida scene.
That's maybe the most heroic, coolest thing I've ever heard you do. Like your dedication to getting good food, where you drove an hour there and back to get good food for your family. It's bringing a tear to my eye, man. I think you're a changed person.
It sounds good in the story. The energy was much more like a heroin addict who like needed a hit. It's like desperation of like a tweaking junkie who's like, where is my samosa? I need it. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. My holidays were good. Thank you for asking. It was good, man. It was great. It was, you know, small, just family gathering. And of course I spent it with my wife and her parents. And so, you know, I basically make them do the entire Feast of the Seven Fishes every year, even though, you know, My father-in-law is Australian, my mother-in-law is American. They don't do any of this, right? Nor are they big eaters. So it's always a really interesting culinary challenge to figure out how to pack in seven fishes while still making it through the meal and not like overloading by like fish three, right? Figured it out to basically like have an awesome starter course where you're having really small light bites featuring a bunch of different fishes. And this year we just cut out the middleman entirely and had a tin fish board, really like of the moment. But that cut out like four fishes because we had three tin fishes. I made a house-made smoked trout dip, and we added a little salmon roe on that as well. Counted that as a next fish. That's five fish. Good. Five fish in one course. So that was awesome. Things got a little hairy around course number or fish number nine. We actually made it to nine fishes.
Nine.
Yeah. So here's the deal, right? You can do more or less than seven fishes per the like, you know, tradition, per the lore, which I've only learned. My family didn't actually do this. In Italy, you don't do Feast of the Seven Fishes. It's only an Italian American thing. But you can do more or less than seven fishes. It just has to be an odd number. Like, apparently, if it's an even number, you're fucked. Your entire 2024 is out the window, okay? So what happened is we got to our eighth fish, and everything was going swimmingly. I had one course left. It's a dish I make all the time. It's spaghetti with clams. And I'm in the kitchen. I'm cooking it up. It's going to be like our main course. And the clams we bought didn't open. They just didn't open. Like we were cooking
them. Oh, no.
And basically, like, you know, I was like, let's just wait it out a little, see if they open up. But my father-in-law was like, all you've got to say is, like, the seafood's off, maybe, and I'm not going to touch it. So that's a fair point. So what I did is instead I made the entire family pound an anchovy straight out of the tin just to get the nine fishes. We did that, chased with some champagne, and that was our ninth fish.
Wait. So to avoid the curse of the even numbered fish, you just pounded some anchovies and had them with champagne?
Yeah, that was the ninth fish.
That's the last one?
Dedication.
That's kind of baller. Nine fishes is crazy, man. I so when you say you make them do it, you're not making them cook all the fish. You seem to be the lead on any preparation. Well, yeah. When you say you make them do it, I was like, damn, you're sitting there being like, and my trout now, please. Is what it maybe sounded like it does.
My wife is cooking. My wife is like getting in the kitchen and cooking herself because she enjoys it as well, and she enjoys the tradition at this point. And we're basically serving it to them. So it's actually a nice treat for them. The only downside for them is that we are force feeding them. By like fish eight, it's like no longer fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That makes sense. Well, just plan for seven next time. Who ended up driving a car through the house out of curiosity?
That would be me. That would be me. When the clams didn't open, I got in the Fiat, just drove it straight through the house. No, surprisingly, no. You know what the thing is? Like, the great thing about doing Feast of the Seven Fishes with a family that's not Italian is you get all the fishes, none of the drama, you know? So,
yeah, that makes sense.
It's a beautiful thing in that way. Did you celebrate New Year's Eve?
No, I don't, man. Like, and neither of us do. It's just kind of like it's another night. So we flew from Florida back to Seattle on New Year's Eve, landed around like 11 or something. And it was just like, let's pass the fuck out. I don't really think I've done a New Year's celebration since, I can't even remember last time, like in a real way. Now, if I'm with my family, which I sometimes am, like they'll make me stay up, do the champagne toast, all that. And I'm always miserable about it. But to me, it's just another night, man. It's all.
Well, we did our Shibumi night one year.
Oh, that's right. See, actually, that's literally the last time. Funny enough, I went and saw my now girlfriend Emily that night. But yeah, that was maybe the last time I actually sat down and was like, "It's New Year's Eve, we're gonna do a thing," and we went and did it.
Yeah. No, we don't typically do it either. We usually just sit on the couch, watch the ball drop, then we turn on the TV and also watch Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. Right?
Jesus Christ!
Happy New Year. Same old jokes. But yeah, usually we just do that. Actually, there was a pretty hilarious one a couple years ago where we just sat on the couch it was like COVID, deep COVID. We just sat on the couch and watched that movie, that like musical movie that came out called Prom Night or something. Do you remember that one?
Vaguely familiar. No idea who's in it or what the story is.
It was like, we were very excited about it as like former musical theater nerds ourselves. But we both fell asleep on the couch well before midnight. And that was like, that's usually the tone of our New Year's Eve. But this year, we actually had some friends come out to the desert, and so we had to like plan something, you know what I mean? So we found a party that required buying tickets and you know, getting a table and stuff like that. It was at this awesome restaurant on Palm Canyon in Palm Springs called Booze Hounds, which has really good food, but their whole thing is like, it's very dog friendly. It's not even dog friendly. It's like dog encouraging, you know, like
Right. Boom
hounds. They want you to bring
I get it. The
dogs. Yeah. Hounds. It's a dog. You get it. Yeah.
Yep. No, I'm following.
The dogs curiously were not allowed at the party. But that makes sense because I feel like New Year's Eve is like a very traumatizing night for dogs. Yeah. I can imagine with all the fireworks and stuff. We had a good time. We danced. There was like, you know, like burlesque dancers. There was like fire breathers. For some reason, the theme of the night was like the joie de vivre. So everybody was dressed up like Marie Antoinette. We weren't, but everybody around us were. And we had a good time. We ended up at McDonald's. So McDonald's was my first meal of 2024.
Wait, this is Kismet. My first meal of 2024 was also McDonald's when I got back home from the airport. I was like, we were fucking hungry. Fuck it. We're ordering McDonald's first thing. Wow. Cheers, buddy.
Dude, it's like awesome. We were eating also, together.
Exactly. You were at my table, so to speak. And you're also reminding me that on New Year's Day, I saw some crazy Insta stories from your wife of you attempting to dance at this very interesting looking party. So attempting? Yes, it looked like a lot of fun.
Attempting? No.
I'll say attempting.
No. Okay. Look, I was doing my one dance move because this is, you know, yes. When there's like a dance circle and you're expected to like bust something out. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation. Uh-huh. People typically pull out, do like they do the worm, you know, they want to do something that gets attention. The only thing I have in my locker is that I can do a pretty deep squat. So what I do is that like Russian dance move, I think, where you like squat down, kick, squat down, kick. You know what I mean? And honestly, the moment I start doing it, I think people are just so confused. They all just like start clapping and laughing and whatnot. And if you can't wow them with your dance moves, you can at least make them laugh.
I think you're not wrong. By the way, I was kind of impressed. I was impressed by how limber you still are at however old you are now. And jumping, kicking, looking, the whole thing. Other people were mimicking you. I couldn't tell out of like making fun or if just they didn't know what else to do with themselves as you were doing it. So it looked like great vibe.
It was like the ring of dance moves. The moment you see it, you like have to do it yourself until you exhaust yourself and die. You know, is that the movie, The Ring, where that happens?
I don't know if that's exactly how that works. No, but I get it. I get what you're trying to say.
You get what I'm trying to say. Hey, so speaking of New Year's, I want to talk resolutions with you. Have you ever done a New Year's resolution?
Yeah, I have. I have. Yeah. Yeah.
Why really? Not? What have been some successful New Year's resolutions of yours?
This is something we used to do. It was kind of a family tradition growing up where, you know, my mom would make us sit down, like, what's our resolution for the year? And we have to do it. I remember one year, I was maybe like eighth grade or freshman year of high school. I think I was kind of young and I hadn't prepared one. And we were going around the table very expectantly trying to do it. So I just was like, I'm not going to drink soda. I just like said it off, like, off the cuff. Like my thing is I'm not going to drink soda. And dude, straight up, I just didn't drink soda for like 6 years. I was like, it's my resolution. I'm not going to drink soda. And it really, really took. Maybe because it was like low stakes and maybe because I was like no pressure, but I was like, I said I'm going to do it. I don't want to go back on it. So I just didn't drink soda until maybe senior year of high school. That might have been the first time after like seventh or eighth grade. So yeah, that really, really stuck and it was probably great for me.
Did you just like forget to drink soda after that or did you mean to do it for 6 years?
No, I meant to do it because like the first couple, because I think it's really easy to like just be like, oh yeah, I said I don't. And then I just didn't, right? Yeah. It was like when the options in front of me, I was like, oh, I said I wouldn't, so I won't. And I kind of had my mom in the back of my head and I told her that I wasn't going to do it. And it just kind of went. It just kind of worked really well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I'm actually impressed that you have one in your life. I would have thought, knowing you and discipline not being really your thing, so to speak, that this would not have been a very successful question. But, you know, you continue to surprise me.
The reason I think it worked is because it was so, like I said, so low stakes and so non-committal to start, right? It was like nothing. I was like, whatever, I'll just do this. And then it just made it way easier to do something. There's a lesson in there somehow, but I don't know how to apply it.
Well, that could have gone one of two ways. Because you hadn't prepared, either you were going to come up with something super low stakes or something super high stakes. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
like you
right,
the,
right.
The first thing that came to your mind, it would have been like, yeah, I'm just, I'm not going to go outside this year. I'm just not going to do it. I'm just going to,
yes. You know. I'm converting to Christianity. I'm a Christian now. Damn it.
No, that's a resolution. I'm going to self-crusade. That's my resolution. Well, look, I've given you a homework assignment, as I like to do, and I've asked you to come up with two food-related resolutions for the year of our Lord 2024. I want to hear your first one.
You know, it's funny. I didn't have to do this homework because I already had it. Like, literally, I had coming into this year, it wasn't like a resolution, but I was like, look, New Year kicking off, here's something I want to do, and the things I want to do are food related. So first one, I'll let you know right now, and it's already kicked off in style, cooking at home. I want to cook at home like as much as possible, and particularly not order delivery. I don't mind going out to eat for special occasions or anything like that, but I really enjoy cooking. Like I really, really actually enjoy it, and it's like a stress reliever, and it's good for us. Like good for me health wise and just good for me from like a, you know, better than just like hanging out and doing nothing, watching TV. I like to cook. So one resolution this year is like literally cooking every meal at home and not using delivery apps is like going to be a balance of that.
Every meal?
Every meal. Yeah. I already have before I left for vacation, I stocked my freezer with all my favorite foods. There's like kimalu in there. There's like braised chuck roast I can use for a bunch of stuff. There's alu kebab. So I put a bunch of stuff in the freezer for like safe, like, you know, the emergency times. And otherwise, everything I possibly can. And with like a real, real like commitment to not ordering. Because I just, ordering food, delivery apps in particular, is dissatisfying. It's expensive for no reason. And it's not healthy. Like, it's like a complete waste. Even if I'm ordering from restaurants I like, just the delivery process. Pizza is like the only thing that kind of keeps. Everything else is kind of shittier. And so I was like, you know what? This is the thing. And enjoying it so far, it's not that hard. Ultimately, not that hard, and good in a lot of different ways. So I'm excited about that. That's food resolution number one.
How crazy are you going to be about this? Like, if someone invites you out to dinner, are you going to be like, yeah, I'll come, but I'm going to bring my own Tupperware of kimalu?
No. I'm going to be like, if there's a social occasion for which I get to go out to a restaurant, and of course, why we're on this podcast, I really enjoy going out to restaurants and eating out, right? And sharing that social experience and eating food at restaurants. I will, of course, like, accept that. It's not like, I'm not trying to like crucify myself on the altar of never eating anything but stuff I cook. It's just that on a day-to-day basis, instead of like, hey, I'm tired, I'm hungry, I don't feel like it, I'm going to order something in, that's like probably crap. I'd rather just cook it at home and just build that habit as much as possible. And frankly, learn a lot more about cooking that I've not done before, making pan sauces, doing stuff that's quick and tasty, also doing more ambitious things, which will kind of get to my second resolution.
Is your second resolution that you're going to start your own oxalis?
That's for next year, baby. Oh my God, that'd be the best.
Oh my God.
Just make the title of the restaurant Oxalis backwards and just start posting.
Yeah. Okay, amazing.
Just pitch eater nonstop until they cover me. And that's it.
Then you can just pay for one in Forbes and call it a day. All right. That's a good one, man. I like that for you. I'm going to give you my first one, my first resolution that is food related of 2024. So, you know, we obviously talked a lot about Bill Addison's 101 list on the LA Times. And as I was going through it, I realized I've been to like 50% of these restaurants, not that much actually. So there's a huge swath of those restaurants that I hadn't been to. I'm going to use that guide as a little bit of a guide for myself this year. And I want to make it to like 80% of that guide by the end of the year. So
all right,
that's like 30 new restaurants that have nothing to do with my other goals. 30 new restaurants that are on that list I want to try. And I might even post them on Instagram. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. But I feel like, you know, the thing with LA restaurants, and unfortunately we've seen this year, there's huge turnover. There's massive turnover. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we saw like 65 plus amazing restaurants close down. Just yesterday, Sweet Lady Jane, a bakery that's been operating for 30 plus years, announced that they were closing all of their locations. Like, something is in the water. Wow. And there's huge turnover in restaurants right now. And so I feel like, you know, at some point I had tried most of the 101 list, but it changes so drastically every year that I just haven't done a great job keeping up. So I want to basically just be way more literate in all that LA has to offer, not just stay, you know, in close to like my little bubbles, the places I like to go to, and really expand that. So while you will be eating at home more, I plan to eat out more.
I love that, man. That's exciting. It also means that you now have like 130 meals like booked for next year already between your countdown and this goal. But this is a great goal. I love this. This is just like a enjoy life more kind of goal. That's awesome, man. I love it. I would say something I would also add, not to add on, but would suggest, like, have you been to every restaurant on the LA Times Hall of Fame list?
No, because that's not a real list.
Come on now. Come on. Those are the Hall of Fame restaurants. Like, if I were living in LA today and trying to match, what I might do to maybe if and when I move back to LA, that could be inshallah. My resolution is to hit, inshallah, would be to hit the LA Hall of Fame just to make sure, and which I've hit like several of already, but to get all of them to make sure I'm really rooted. I love this. I love that,
that's,
man.
That's a good one for you. When you move back, not if, when. I actually think thinking back on the Hall of Fame in my head, I think I have been to almost all of those restaurants. So
I
think that would be a good goal for you as, you know, a bit more of a noob in this arena. You know, all right. Tell me resolution number two.
Well, resolution number two actually takes us, funnily enough, kind of back to LA, and this is I actually don't remember who gave me this book. It might have been you, but it might have been someone else. I've kicked off this year with, I mean, obviously as I'm cooking from home, I have a bunch of cookbooks that I've like not leafed all the way through, and basically spent a ton of time yesterday just going through all the cookbooks I have and like flagging different recipes that I think are cool. And I opened up the Gorilla Tacos cookbook and was just like, this is probably the dopest. Like I just like loved it so much going through. And so what my goal is with regards to that is each week to 2 weeks, I'm gonna start this Friday and then see like how regularly I can do it, is make a taco from Gorilla Tacos based on the recipes in the cookbook and try to make my way as much as I can through the book. Some of them, I've looked at all of them. Some of them are like really high level, like lobster, yeah, caviar, or shit that I probably won't be able to pull. Yeah, some of them are really hard. Some of them are like mushroom, sweet potato, like fish, meat, like just stuff that I could give a real shot and maybe even get a couple of them in my back pocket that I become particularly good at. But I want to make my way through the book. It connects me back to LA, place I love, gets me making better tacos of food I love to make. And yeah, so I'm that's number two is make my way through Gorilla Tacos. And I'm going to be going like taco by taco.
I love it. It's like Julie and Julia, but Father Saul and Wes. That's what it is.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I mean, honestly,
I'll make a blog about it.
You will at a minimum have to take pictures of all of your tacos so I can repost them on the LA Countdown Instagram, and I will tag Chef Wes in every single one until he takes notice of all the hard work you're doing.
I love it. I would absolutely do that. I don't know if I'm the best at taking pictures, but we'll try our absolute hardest to get you some quality shots. Yeah, I love that.
I'll send you a tutorial. It's not that hard. If I can do it, anybody can.
Point camera, click button.
Yeah, get light, any light. Okay, I'm gonna tell you my last resolution of the year, but then we're gonna move on to, and we're gonna kind of flip the script, dear listener here. Mm. My second resolution of the year, as we talked about, I'm gonna have a lot of restaurants to check out in 2024. So in 2024, I'm gonna be eating a lot of meals. I'm gonna have 100 plus places for my countdown. I'm gonna have, as we just discussed, 30 places or so to check out on the 101 list. And it just occurred to me that I spent a lot of time last year eating alone at these places. And one of the like beautiful things about food is you get to share those meals. They're like experiences, right? My favorite meals of last year were the ones that we had together, or the ones I shared with my wife, or the ones I shared with new friends. So I just want to make an intention this year to eat fewer meals alone. That means like...
This sounds really sad, bro. As soon as you're like, I ate a lot of these alone, I was like, doesn't he have a wife? what is going on?
Yeah, my wife has a job and she can't come to like single countdown place.
Of course. I get it. Yeah. It's like, okay, keep going. I'm sorry to laugh so hard. You're definitely loneliness.
I was gonna say, I definitely sound like that kid who eats all of his lunches in the bathroom by himself.
Yeah, you sound like you're saying, I'm gonna make one friend this year.
Honestly, I hope to make many. So, you know, dear listener, if you're someone who wants to, you know, grab a meal, let me know because there's gonna be a lot of meals to be had. So that's one of my goals, is just eat fewer meals alone. I realize how sad that sounds, but I think of it. I'm going to see the silver lining here.
How are you going to go about achieving this goal? What's the plan here?
First of all, the countdown food item that I'll be doing requires a lot more sit down restaurants. It's not something that I can easily like go to every spot at and just, you know, get for takeaway and eat in my car or eat right outside the restaurant. So I think I'm going to try to like make it so that every two or every three places that I go, I have like a lunch date or dinner date set up, whether it's with my wife, whether it's with, you know, forking around. Yeah, forking around. This is a plea to come and invite me to lunch. You know, whether it's with you when you're in town, you know, it's basically just make it so like every two or three countdown spots, I'm going to go with a friend or my wife, basically, which I don't think I did last year. Last year, I would just go to like a neighborhood, hit up three sandwiches in one day by myself. And it was a very efficient way of doing things, but there wasn't as much joy in it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Well, it makes total sense. I imagine this kind of dynamic's been true for both the sandwich and the taco countdown. Was the pizza countdown, which by the way also was in COVID, so I'm guessing your wife was around more, was that the most like social one with her?
100%. Yeah. Also, because it was during COVID, you know, we had more flexibility to like drive around together. She would film a lot of the content for me. And frankly, pizza is just something you share too. So even if I went and got pizza by myself, I would bring it home and we would enjoy it together when we got home.
Right.
There's a lot of people that love pizza. I was able to like, you know, invite a lot of people out for pizza. I could have the slice and needed help to finish the rest of the pizza, that kind of thing. So, it really lent itself to that. But tacos was a lonely endeavor, you know, hitting up those trucks late at night by myself. You know, every taco tasted a little saltier because of the tears in them. And sandwiches was the same.
Well, I appreciate this goal given that context and the sad, lonely life of Luca Servodio. But we got some good resolutions going here, man. I'm liking this.
We do. We'll check in at the end of the year to see if we've actually accomplished any of them. We're going to take a quick break, dear listener. When we come back, Father Saul becomes the interviewer. Brace yourself.
Welcome back to the LA Food Podcast, where the tables have turned. I'm your host for this segment, Father Saul, interviewing the one, the only, Mr. LA Countdown himself, Luca Servodio. Luca, are you ready for this?
I am not ready for this.
Well, this interview segment is an idea we've had for a little while, and I think it's a great way for the listeners to get to know more about you and what you're all about, how you do the countdown. And before we dive in, should we make the news official? The 2024 countdown has been decided by the viewers and the listeners of the LA Countdown account, and you will be eating 100 dishes of
noodles, baby. It's noodles.
Noodles. Love it. Love it. Now, interesting because burgers, I think, were the clear favorite going in. They were the number two neck and neck with sandwiches last year. And I was like, look, sandwiches to burgers makes total sense as like a progression. But the listeners kind of threw you a curveball here. How are you feeling about it?
They sure did. They threw me a curveball. So I did two rounds of voting this year. The first round I did burgers. I did noodles in all their sort of variations, like pastas, ramens, pad thais, you name it. I did burritos and I did pizza 2.0. And to be clear, I made the choices based on follower feedback, basically. Like people had told me these are the kinds of things they would want to see in 2024. And for the first round, it was pretty clear that like burgers and noodles were going to be the leaders. But burritos got a surprising amount of love. Pizza 2.0 got like zero love. But it was going to be interesting to see where in the second round the burrito vote went, you know, like who got the burrito vote. And it turns out 55% to 45% people want to see a year of me slurping down nudes.
It's a pretty close vote overall still. Burger's always the bridesmaid, it seems, but I want to ask you a little bit more about going into that countdown, about the 2023 sandwich countdown in this segment. But let's open with this, because we've been doing this podcast for a year. You've been doing the countdown for 3 years. For those who may not have been there from the start, or for the listeners who may not remember, just remind them, who the fuck are you and why are you doing this? What is the LA countdown? How did it come to be? And who is Luca Servodio?
Yeah. So who the fuck am I is a question I strive to answer every single day, and I'm not sure I've gotten there yet. But to start with the question of what is the countdown? So in COVID, during COVID, in 2021, actually, after the first year of like deep COVID, you know, my wife and I were setting goals and intentions for the next year. And I just wanted a goal that gave me a little bit more joy in life. And one of my favorite things in life is pizza. So I literally just wrote down on my notepad, I want to eat 100 pizzas this year of our Lord 2021. And I showed my wife this, fully expecting her to be like, you're insane. You shouldn't do that. I love you too much. I don't want you to die of like high cholesterol. And I showed her this. And actually, she was like, that's a great idea. Not only is it a great idea, but you should post it all on Instagram. And I was like, okay, yeah, that makes way more sense than me eating 100 pizzas alone in my room in the dark.
In silence.
Like literally, it hadn't even occurred to me that that was a thing I was going to do. It was all because of her encouragement that I did this. In the first year, I ate 100 pizzas in 365 days. It got a little bit of a following. I created a little bit of a community of passionate pizza lovers online. And more than anything, I just loved it. I loved this opportunity to go around the city, to basically just check out neighborhoods that I wasn't that familiar with, to learn about new businesses, to meet business owners. I'm someone who has always been extremely passionate about food and restaurants, but I've always done it in kind of I've always done it in a bit more of like a scattered way. You know, yes, I'm the guy who like looks at all the lists, who friends come to for recommendations, who's planning the outings, but I've never really like combed through the city in like an intentional way. So I really love that process and wanted to continue into 2022. So in 2022, I put it up for a vote. The people voted for me to do tacos. So in 2022, I visited 100 taquerias in 365 days. And 2023, we did the same thing. And the people voted for sandwiches. And I just wrapped up the sandwich countdown in December. And that's how we ended up here with another vote leading to the 2024 countdown, which will be noodles.
Noodles, baby. Now, before we talk about the 2024 countdown, which I'm very excited about to hear your thoughts on, let's look back at 23. Like you said, you just wrapped up 100 sandwiches in a year, 100 LA sandwiches in a year. I'm curious because we went way back at the beginning of this year. We started this podcast and we kind of opened with what are sandwiches? Like what qualifies for this? First of all, how do we assess them? What are our expectations? I'm curious. I went back and tried to like figure out what some of our thoughts were then, but I just want to ask you straight up, what were your expectations going into this year of 100 sandwiches? And what surprised you most about this experience? Because you eat everything, but I never knew you as a sandwich guy, so to speak.
I don't think I ever was a sandwich guy. I think it comes down to this. So I do most of my like heavy, dirty eating at dinner. That's when I save myself for dinner, right? Like the rest of the day, I'm pretty healthy. Like I intermittent fast most days, not to be like super like Lex Friedman about it, but like that's just something I've picked up over the last few years.
Truly cursed reference, my guy.
I literally just learned who Lex Friedman is today. I've not been Lex pilled. Yeah, so I've been doing that for like the last several years and it's just worked for me, right? And then at lunchtime, typically, you know, between work or whatever, I'm just getting a Trader Joe's salad or making myself a salad or something like that. And then dinner is where I come alive. I come alive in the nighttime. You know, I'm either making a dish at home or we're going out and like going out to a nice restaurant or going out to a classic spot or going out to a hole in the wall, whatever it is. But that's where I really eat my food. And the thing is, you don't get a lot of dinner sandwiches. That's not really a popular thing, right? Like, yes, you can get the occasional burger and whatnot, but more often than not, sandwiches are a lunch food. So that's why I had not really ever been a sandwich guy and was not all that well versed in Los Angeles's sandwich landscape. Like I thought like, okay, I know about Langer's. I've been to Langer's. I love Langer's. I know about Bay Cities. I know about, you know, all these classic spots and I've been to them, but I really did not realize just how vast Los Angeles sandwich landscape was. And not only just how vast, but how polarizing it is. Dude, I just posted the list of the top 10 sandwiches in 2023.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've perused those comments, but I literally just got called hard of tasting by someone.
That's amazing. I'd seen a little bit of spice. Like I looked maybe 1 or 2 days ago, maybe yesterday, I guess. I saw a little bit of feistiness. Did not see that. That is a classic comment.
This just in. Like I think an hour ago, somebody called me hard of tasting, which I'm now thinking of putting on a t-shirt if it wasn't so ableist.
The one thing Helen Keller didn't have. You're like a reverse HK, bro. One of my favorite stories of you doing this whole thing is while you were doing the taco countdown, you were at Burritos Las Palmas, which was like kind of like an edge case of tacos, but you added it to the list. And I think some lady, you have a bullyable face. You have a face that people see and they're like, I bet I could take advantage of this person. And so this lady came up and essentially like stole half your burrito. I don't remember the details of the story, but it just the image has stayed with me. Yeah. Were there any particularly memorable, it doesn't have to be a bullying case, though I'm sure it happened, with or without your knowledge. Any particularly standout moments from the streets this year of Sandwich Countdown?
I mean, that was nothing that quite reached that level because, yeah, I even have that on video. And honestly, I'll probably share it now that we've talked about it. But it's because I record everything when I'm eating, right? So I have the camera pointed at me and I'm recording myself chowing down on this burrito. And I see out of the corner of my eye this lady approaching. And I can see that she's eyeing my burrito like through the camera. And I'm just like, surely she won't. No, there's no way. And of course, she starts getting closer and closer. And she does. She does. She literally comes over to me and just grabs the burrito out of my cold, dead hands. And
out of your hands. I thought it was just like in front of you laying down.
Bro, out of my hands.
Out of your hands.
She had this like.
That's so disrespectful.
She, I've never seen hunger on a face before. You know, like I've never seen the emotion of hunger. I know what happy looks like. I know what sad looks like. I didn't know what hungry looked like. She looked hungry. Jesus. And she just came over and I was like, I was speechless because it just felt like she needed it way more than me. But also I did feel bullied. You're right. I felt a little bit bullied. I would have given it to her. I definitely would have. But it was just, yeah, snatched. It was like I got Liam Neeson, you know?
Good for her, I think. I think I respect it. Obviously, she needed it more than you. She wanted it more than you, clearly.
Yeah, 100%.
willing to take it. All right. Well, look, I kind of have like two questions to wrap up the sandwich portion of this. One being, and it's fair if you don't have an answer for this, but do you have now a taste for, like, you love pizza. You love tacos.
Yeah.
Do you love sandwiches now? And are there sandwiches in the U.S., elsewhere, other cities that you now want to pursue and go eat? Or was this, and I think it's okay to say, like a contained experience? You now know the landscape of LA sandwiches in a way you never did, but it's on to noodles.
Dude, I have really come to love sandwiches. Like
nice.
In a way that's like, we were just in Palm Springs, as I mentioned, and there's this great deli there called the Real Italian Deli. Spoiler alert, it's not real Italian. It's very Italian American and actually the owner is Mexican, but that's neither here nor there.
A classic Southern California story.
Classic Southern California story. But I ate there 4 out of our 10 days for lunch because they just have incredible sandwiches. And every day I was just craving a sandwich. I've now worked my way through almost their entire menu. And I find myself craving sandwiches. And maybe you can chalk it up to like the nitrates in deli meats or, you know, some sort of like chemical imbalance that my body is always trying to correct. But I just think that there is something so satisfying about a sandwich, especially at lunch as like your first meal of the day. And I've really come to appreciate it. Also, I've also come to realize that 100 sandwiches in LA is really just scratching the surface. Like I went to like 15 Italian delis where I got Italian sandwiches. And literally, I posted a video of the 10 best Italian sandwiches, and in the comments, the vitriol I received for not visiting some spots that prior to 2023, I had never even heard of. We're talking about Domingo's in the Valley, Cricca's in the Valley, places that I went to for other sandwiches, but that I didn't try their Italian sandwich. You know, it's like I missed out on like, you know, the most obvious sandwich basically to these people. So 100 is not enough with sandwiches. And honestly, I do think there could be more sandwiches in the future of the LA Countdown, but not in an official capacity, at least not for a minute.
Sure. I do think there's something about sandwiches do inspire passion in a weird way. Think about the French dip debate in LA, but also they're like a weirdly, like, dude, I get addicted to sandwiches. You didn't unfortunately get to visit Seattle during this year, but if you had, I had like a list of sandwiches that I would eat constantly up here to show you. And I think people get really emotionally attached to sandwiches.
Well, I'll say, well, you asked me about what sandwich city I want to visit. And Seattle is the only reason Seattle would be on my list is because you're there and you can sort of act as like a sandwich Sherpa to me, right? But
sure.
And this one is extremely relevant to us this year. And that is New Orleans. I think New Orleans is a sneaky sandwich town. And here's why. First of all, there's a spot there called, I believe, Turkey and the Wolf, which is extremely famous and has been featured in a lot of different content, but it's basically like, you know, classic story of a fine dining chef opens like a nostalgic sandwich place where they're like throwing potato chips in there and shit, but like it's really good, right? And I really want to check that spot out, but also Po' Boys. That I feel like like catfish po' boys, shrimp po' boys, you name it, right? And I do think there are a couple of good po' boy spots in Los Angeles. Shout out to Little Jewel of New Orleans. Shout out to Orleans and York. But I do think it is a little bit of a Los Angeles blind spot. So I would be interested to go out there and just like really po' boy out, you know?
Hell yeah. Now, I am not sure that noodles inspire the same kind of passion and jealousy and like addiction that sandwiches do. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we'll find out. But I am very much looking forward to this year of noodles because, one, I'll just say for myself quickly, noodles are like, I think, a deep LA food, given particularly like the East and Southeast Asian communities. From Alhambra to Sautel, you got quality noodles in Los Angeles. But I'm curious about your take going forward. Now, first, let's root ourselves. Noodles. What's your relationship to noodles to date? What are you excited about? What are you scared about as you go into this year?
Let me begin by saying I am terrified of this year. Really scared. So one thing that happened to me during the taco countdown is I got a lot of vitriol, especially on TikTok, for basically ignorance, right? Just like not like I feel like I know a lot about tacos. I know a lot about Mexican food. You know, we've spent significant amount of time in Mexico. Like, it's not a cuisine I find myself to be extremely illiterate about. However, just the fact that, you know, I'm a white guy, I talk the way I talk, you know, I react the way I react. I have a punchable face, you know, like I say certain words certain ways, right? It elicited such strong reactions from TikTok followers about my takes on tacos. And and the thing is, noodles is a food where I am extremely well versed in one type of noodle, pasta. Yeah. I know how to make it really well. I know a lot about where the good pasta spots are in Los Angeles. I know what I'm looking for. But on the flip side, I know virtually nothing about all other types of noodles. Like, and I'm talking like Chinese noodles, noodles, you know? Just to give you an idea, I was doing some cursory research the other day, and I made an initial list of the noodle spots to go check out. Just by looking at your usual suspects of sources, I wrote down 180 spots in like an hour. 180. And I'll tell you what, 80% of those were from Asian countries.
Yeah.
Like, pasta is going to be a bit of a drop in the bucket here, I think, if I'm to do this right. I think if I'm to do this right, I can't do more than like 25 to 30% pasta, if I'm being honest.
I was going to say, my take on this was, when I hear noodles, I was talking to my girlfriend Emily about this today. Noodles to me is noodles. Pasta is pasta. To me, they're distinct buckets. When I think when you say, hey, let's go out for noodles, I'm not thinking we're going to Bestia, right? Yeah. Or Pasta Sisters, right? I think we're going to Taste of Jean or something like that, right? So this is an interesting, and I sense that your inclusion of pasta is like your safety blanket here. It's like I know for sure I'll have to. I think you're exactly right. You shouldn't. I mean, if you are to include pasta, you could do a pasta Italian food countdown probably in itself in its own way. But let's say you include pasta, which I suppose I'll allow. I think it's still fair to, in ways that you maybe, you know, this is a real like journey, like for you as like a novice into a new space. And that's a slightly new dynamic for you in the countdown, right?
Yeah.
Pizza, you know, inside and out. Tacos, you've been eating in LA for a decade, right? So like, yes, you had some familiarity, though, of course, you know, I'm sure fair critiques on TikTok, a famously reasonable place. Even sandwiches are universal, right? Like, everyone's been eating sandwiches forever, right? This is truly new territory for you, and I'm really excited. Now, I do think it will require maybe a different kind of approach into the world and a learning mindset. Your stance here might go from, you know, reviewer to learner in some ways, which will be really interesting.
I think that is going to be essential. In fact, I think I'm going to destroy the countdown a meter for this year. I don't think there are going to be ratings for this year.
Yeah.
Again, I just don't feel, I think the way you phrased it is exactly perfect, which you don't do often, but I think I'm going to go from reviewer to like avatar and explorer for people watching, basically. Like, I could go into, you know, most Italian restaurants and rate pasta. I feel extremely confident in my ability to do that.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go to, you know, I just couldn't go to a ramen spot and tell you, like, with any confidence, this is a 90% ramen or an 85% ramen. I could tell you how much I like it, but also I feel like that's not a fair way to do things, because, you know, I've done a lot of research in the last few days about all the different types of Korean noodles, and there are some flavor profiles and some like types of noodles in there that, yes, inspire a little bit of like, not something I would gravitate towards, you know, naturally on a DoorDash app. Right. So I'm excited to try it. I really am, but it might not be a flavor that I'm particularly familiar with and that I like that much to begin with. Right. It might be an acquired taste for me. Right. So I think the countdown to meter is going to die this year.
And rightly so. I think this is not. I think this is like a. I wonder if there's a different way to quantify learnings, though. I wonder if there's a different way to like note or just like features. Like, here's what you will find here. Ramen or I don't know. I don't know that would include. And I don't know if you should force it. I like the countdown a meter because it was like an interesting shorthand for your experience. But I think there should be like, you know, a key learning or something that would be interesting to take away from the food you're going to eat. Noodles are so broad, man. They're so vast. And I think you're going to have a great year. Are there any, and maybe this is it, like maybe you've talked about this already, but I was curious because you're like in your senior year, so to speak, of the countdown. You're number four, right? You're a vet.
You're senioritis, upperclassman. Fully kicked in.
Senioritis, man, right? are there any lessons or things you're going to try and do more of this year based on your experience in past years?
Yeah, I think, well, okay, from a very like boring and dull content with a content mindset on, you know, one thing I've really learned over the past couple years is people only have time for like very quick snapshots, basically. So it's really important for you to like distill right at the top what you're about to tell someone, what you're going to, basically what the takeaway is in the first 3 seconds, right? That's how much you have to like really get someone watching. And I feel like if I am to do these dishes justice, I have to be really good at finding a way to summarize in as few words as possible the essence of them, what they mean to me, basically. And I want to lead with that, basically. I just want to lead with like what this dish means, basically, to me, and what it evokes for me. And then I can sort of like use the rest of the video to tell them why, if they're interested, and what it is, right? But I think the key thing from a non-content perspective is I'm a little bit inspired, or very much inspired, by the Mexico City list we've discussed so often, that the New York Times put together about the best dishes in Mexico City. I think I'm going to take a committee approach to this. What I mean I think I'm going to make a clarion call and try to, you know, use all the connections I've made and the friendships I've made through the podcast and through the countdown over the years to find some people to help me out, basically. Like, I don't know a lot about different types of Chinese noodles. I don't know a lot about different types of Japanese noodles. I want to learn, basically. Can I find people? And it meshes up really well with my goal of eating less meals alone. Can I find people to like contribute to the countdown? I don't know that this needs to be just me, kind of like Bill Addison, you know, like doing the 101, and we talked about, why is this all on Bill? Why is this all on me? Yes, I want to be there for all of them, but like, I don't think I'm the best person for people to learn from during this experience, or to even like give them a fair reflection of what is. I do not want to go to a single place, have a dish, and be like, that's good. I can't explain it, but it tastes good.
Right.
You know, like,
right.
There's a bunch of other influencers who do stuff like that. It works for them, but that's not my style. And so I feel like I want to take that committee approach. I want to be learning and I want to bring people into this, basically.
Fucking love that idea, man. You should be like, this feels like your Bourdain year. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bourdain would go to like Palestine and shit. I can use a different example.
Yeah, I was gonna say,
but he would. He famously did, or Nicaragua, or Morocco, right? He would go, and he would not be. He would be obviously a food expert and a chef, but he would not be an expert on local cuisine. He would find people to take him around. Even Tucci, right? Tucci, who is Italian and can cook Italian food, Like when you do these shows or experience, learn about food from other people who are like semi but not full or even complete novices, it's critical for them to platform the voices of the people who are there and who know it and who can explain it. And then they become, like you said, the avatar, the vessel for a broader set of learning for all of us. And that'll be a challenge, but I'm excited to see you do it, man. I think it's going to be a great fucking year.
The good thing is my goal with this is never to like build a following. It's never to like get more people watching or whatever. And I feel like the thing is like, I think I learned like with tacos, there are a lot of taco lists out there. You know what I mean? And that is a year that I think I saw my platform basically get the least amount of engagement and interest. And I don't think that that's a bad thing necessarily. I don't think it's a bad thing from the perspective of like, you know, oh, I'm not growing or my following isn't growing. What I mean is I don't think that list was additive in any way. Like, I don't think it really added anything to the food conversation in Los Angeles. Like, it was a really cool learning experience for me. But truth is there are a bunch of other taco like accounts out there that you can go and learn way more from than just me telling you how smoky the fucking carne asada was at Angel's Tijuana Tacos, right? You know, like,
right.
More than anything, I don't care how much people are interested in this year, whatever, or like how much engagement it gets. I don't care about that. I just want to make sure that we find a way to make it additive. Like, it's adding something to the overall Los Angeles food scene, if that makes sense.
That makes total sense. And funny enough, I mean, and we can sign off with this. My last question for you today was going to be, at the end of 2024, what do you hope you'll have accomplished with the LA countdown? And I think being additive is a great goal. I don't know if you want to expound on that anymore or name anything else you'll want to have achieved with this work, LA countdown or beyond, frankly. But the framing that, hey, this is about being additive to the environment, being humble in the approach from a learning mindset. And dude, I think people are excited to see what you eat and where it is and to figure out how it might influence their own food decisions or exploration of LA. And if you can achieve that, great stuff.
Yeah, no, I think that is the goal. That's the goal. I mean, obviously the ultimate goal is always to win a James Beard Award. Shout out to our James friends of James Beard. But no, in a smaller, more immediate way, that's the goal. And that's the real goal. It's just to basically like give people something that they want to watch, that they, you know, get something out of. And really to just keep, you know, people talk a lot of shit about like online communities. And even you, like, you know, just made a joke about TikTok being a famously, you know, good place for feedback. And you're right. There is so much hate out there on it. And there's so much vitriol. And, you know, as evidenced by the fact that I just got called hard of tasting by someone for the first time in my life. But like,
I'm going to use that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's hard of tasting. Yeah. It's also, it can be social media, a good place to build community, especially for certain like very like niche interests or very like specific interests. I know food is about as broad as it gets, but believe it or not, LA food is way more niche than you think. Like, people who are watching LA food so closely and the scene and whatnot, it's a relatively small community. A lot of people watch it, but the community that's actually talking about it and like really discussing it in depth, it's a lot smaller. Right. There's some incredible people out there doing it. So, you know, just the ability to keep building that community, that's the real goal.
Love it. Buddy, I think with that, we can sign off on this first episode of the LA Food Pod 2024. Noodles, baby.
Noodles.
Let's do it. Any last words?
Yeah. I mean, this is the perfect evidence that you may not be the best host. But actually, you've done a pretty good job, so I do want to give you a little bit of kudos. I just need to hear your shitty Yelp review of the week before you sign off.
Oh, we have time for it? Hell yeah, man. Shitty Yelp review of the week. By the way, real quick before I dive in, I had a flash of an idea that, because the shitty Yelp review is meant to be about our status and performance as partners, we were once roommates.
Yeah.
And I wonder if we could pull out some Yelp reviews from the good old days, which there could be some.
Nothing is off limits. What I mean is, I think it's not just shitty Yelp reviews as partners, it's just as people. Like, anytime you were a bad person, And
anytime in life, I can go back to the good old days.
You can go back to the good old days. You can go back to the good, but it has to be about you. It can't be about me.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah. that was the other part of the idea where I thought it would be kind of fun, but I'll keep it. If we were to review each other, so to speak, that'd be it.
I think once a year we do a Freaky Friday episode where we can do
Hell
that.
Yeah.
We do Absolutely. A Freaky Friday Love episode that. Where I share one about you. You share one about me.
Love it. That's a great idea. All right. My shitty Yelp review of the New Year's / holiday period. Overall, pretty solid performance by your boy. But there was one day, me and my girlfriend love escape rooms. We like literally planned trip. We went to Orlando for a night during this holiday trip to do 6 escape rooms, like in 2 days. We love them. And when we first got to Florida, like about the week of the 20th, we went down to around Fort Lauderdale area. And we're doing a couple rooms. First room was this kind of like sex themed one. There were like dildos everywhere. Had a hand of fleshlight at one point, trying to press a button or whatever. Like it was really goofy.
Why?
And like what whims? It was just like the theme of the room. It was a strange theme, and it was Emily loved it, and it was legitimately good room. It was whimsical. It was light. It was easy in terms of like a breezy fun experience. Cool. That was the only room we were supposed to do. I've driven 40 minutes down here. I haven't eaten all day. We hop out. We have dinner. We decide to go back and do a second room because Emily's really, really down for a second room. And I'm like, all right, I got it. We can do it. Let's go. It's a scary room. It's called Escape Your Nightmare. I walk in the room. There's spiders everywhere.
Oh,
there's
no.
Creepy music. There's fog. And there's like jump scares. And dude, I was... such a coward. Emily did the whole, I was such a coward. This room, I was like, they were banging doors open automatically. There was like heads, like dismembered heads, like dropping from the ceiling. And I was terrified. I was just like frozen and I couldn't deal. Total like not a protective boyfriend vibe. And Emily's like walking around solving puzzles and I'm just like jumping at every sound. Spiders are falling from the ceiling. It was awful. I think the people who were running it could tell I was having a terrible time. And it was truly, I'm pretty, we've done creepy rooms before. I get scared. It's okay to get scared, but it's not like something that like shakes me. And I was just totally shook. And it was a bad boyfriend. Look, I'll give it a 1.5 maybe stars.
Yeah. I think
there was room to go lower.
You can't control your phobias. You know what I mean? Like, I think the main, here's where you actually earn the 1.5 star. It's the fact that you just doxed yourself to everybody about how they can best like break into your house and steal everything. Is just get a fuck ton of spiders and just play up the phobias.
Do not do this.
And if you want to rob Salman for everything he's worth, this is how you do it. And that's how you just earn your 1.5 stars.
The other part of this is like when I get scared, I'm not like a shrieky. I'm not I'm not like timid. I get angry. I get like
and
grumpy, right? I'm like,
you give up.
Yeah. That's right. Exactly right. Bro, you know me so well. I'm like, fuck this. Fuck. I want to kill myself. I hate this so much. I want to die. I'm like that's the vibe. It's not like, oh no, what's going on? It's like yeah. Fuck. I'm like, and they can hear me. By the way, the people who run the room can hear everything you say. I'm just like, I fucking hate this so much. Like literally the whole time. Yeah,
that's good. I'd give you like, yeah, 2 stars, 2.5 maybe. Not horrible. Okay,
yeah.
I've got
two stars. I think is 2 stars. I think is the right call.
All right, I've got one for you before we wrap up here. Okay, I've gone full Matt Rife in the comments of my recent posts on Instagram. Basically, like. I've posted like end of year lists for the sandwich stuff, like top 10 Italian, yeah. Top 10 chicken, you know, top 10 most affordable. And some of them have really popped off. Like they've like gotten like hundreds of thousands of views, like done really Whoa. Well, right? But it means they've also generated like hundreds of comments. And as you know, yeah. It's the people who comment on this shit aren't the people who are like, great job, Luca. Thank you for going out and spending your hard earned money to like buy us sandwiches and like eat them in front of us, right? No, it's the people who are like, do you even have fucking taste buds, bro? Like, it's that kind of people. Like, and it's like people just like, but the thing is, like, I've taken an approach. Most people would say, don't respond, Luca. Just don't respond to that. Respond to the good ones and whatnot. I have been responding to pretty much all of the negative comments.
Oh my God, dude.
But I've been doing it in what I think is a pretty nice way. Like, I've been doing it in a way that, like, kind of pokes fun at the person of what they're saying. You not of them. Not of them. I'm not poking fun. No, wait. I'm not poking fun at them personally. I'm like kind of making light of what they're saying while giving love back to them, right? For example, right? There's this one of my main trolls on TikTok. And I actually don't know if he's actually trolling. I don't know if it's a he, frankly. I don't know anything about this person. But they're called Make My Punk a Funk. P-F-U-N-K. Okay. And literally, Funk comments on everything I put out, and it's never positive. It's never positive. Like once, but what I do is I basically just say like, ah, Funk, gotta love the funk, you know, like basically like that. And I just give him a heart, you know? So like on my last one with the Italian ones, he goes, he had a typo in what he wrote. He goes like, he wanted to say, there's nothing like East Coast Italians, talking about East Coast subs, right? But he wrote, there's nothing like East Coach Italians. So I just wrote back, God bless the East Coach Italians heart. And that's all I did. You know, it's like, I feel like it's like pretty pleasant responding, but I do see, I was getting a little tipsy during New Year's, and I think I got a little like, you know, more like, you know, risque with my pushing back. So, I haven't gone full Matt Rife, but I'm definitely on the way.
This is hilarious. This is so ill. Wait, do you do this? This sounds mainly on TikTok. Because I follow the Insta comments. I see some. I mean, I guess the most recent post. Which, by the way, I was even going to talk to you about these like clickbaity lists that you're posting, and how if we were on this podcast a year ago, we'd probably be like, "Look at this bullshit clickbait list." So keep that in mind.
Yeah, I think this is a whole, but guess what? Clickbait works, and honestly, like it's been popping off. And
the goal wasn't to get follows. What is this?
Is inconsistent. The goal is not to get follows. It's just that I've spent this entire year eating the sandwiches. Sure. This year, I actually rated them, right? And people wanted to know like which ones were the best. So I was just doing people a solid, basically, and giving them lists of like, so they didn't have to comb back through and see like
through the list. Yeah, sure.
So that was the goal here. Yes, are they my best performing post? Totally. Does that prove that the internet is a toxic place? Absolutely. But it's been worth it for the comments here. I mean, honestly, scroll through, dude. You can spend an afternoon. Morgan's been doing it. It's the most she's ever engaged with my account. So like, it's amazing. Okay.
I love it. Wait. So what's the review here for yourself?
I mean, I think it's like a too quickly deteriorating into a half star if it keeps escalating.
Look, I gotta say, based on how you describe these replies, and I'll go look at them myself, it's not bad yet. It's the mistake is engaging in the first place. You know this.
Yeah.
But yeah, so maybe yeah, I'll give you a two. I'll give you a two, two and a half, maybe, to see how tentatively we'll see how it devolves. All right, you okay, bro? How you holding up?
I'm great. I'm great. Happiest I've ever been. Hey. By the way, last thing I want to say, the listeners don't know this, but by the time they will have heard this podcast, you'll have celebrated a birthday. There were so many tenses in that sentence, I completely fucked it up. But happy birthday, bro. You got any plans?
I don't. Emily has been doing all sorts of stuff in our bedroom. I have no idea what she's up to. She keeps talking big game about this big night we're going to have. I'm really excited for it. But I have no clue what's going to happen tomorrow. So thank you for the birthday wishes. I can't wait to tell you about what goes down. I'm just excited.
I'm scared for you. Honestly, like as someone who receives birthday surprises every year and who gives birthday surprises to their significant other, it quickly becomes, I find that it quickly becomes not about you and about how badly they can surprise you. And basically you should be afraid. I suspect there could be spiders involved, honestly.
Oh, God, no. Jeez, that'd be the worst.
All right, buddy. Happy birthday. Good job by you today. Great job hosting, honestly. You know, you might be in for a job sometime.
Hey, man, look, we're a 1-2 punch here. Best two men in the game, Maxi and Embiid. We're doing it.
Lex Friedman and Joe Rogan. Let's go.
Jesus fucking Christ. All right, man. Great to talk to you. Happy New Year.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the LA Food Podcast. Hey, dear listener, remember when Father Saul and I were discussing his birthday plans and he had no idea what his girlfriend was planning? I did know what was happening, even though I was playing dumb on the podcast. My wife and I flew up to Seattle to surprise him. It turns out him and his girlfriend, as you just heard, are really into escape rooms. So she actually planned a Salmon-themed escape room for him, literally 15 puzzles themed around his life for him. And at the end of the escape room, he found my wife and I in his apartment waiting for him with the final puzzle. So the audio you're going to hear after I'm done with this bit is basically my wife and I surprising him and him having to answer a few questions to finalize the puzzle. It's all very fun. Look, if you like what you heard today, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, leave us a rating, a review, subscribe. Really looking forward to 2024 with you. We'll be back next week with another epic episode. And if you're looking for me in the meantime, you can find me at the LA Countdown on TikTok, Instagram, and on Threads. That's THELACOUNTDOWN. You can also find us on Instagram at LA Food Pod. That's LAFOODPOD.
What?
Hey, buddy.
What?
Happy birthday?
Oh. Wait, are we sure it's really him?
I have an idea. What do you think of Doc Rivers?
Hate him.
What do you think of Lebanese food?
Hate it.
What was the name of the sandwich shop at the end of Portilla?
Trencher.
It's him! The spell reversal worked!
Happy birthday, buddy!
Happy birthday!
Oh my god. What? Thank you, guys. Did I take too long? Oh my god, it was really hard.
So long.
Oh my god, it was really hard.
I'm really sorry.
Oh my god.